It is the cry of our hearts that you would transform us from the inside out, that our behavior would not be our primary focus, but the condition of our heart before you, the condition of our soul. And as you mold and shape and transform us at a heart and at a soul level, Lord, would you then allow behavior to change, Lord, from the inside out, from the inside out. Lord, you by your Spirit are able to do what religion could never do. You're able to transform us from the inside out. So continue to change our hearts. Meet us as we look into your word. May your word speak to us that we would be transformed more into the image of Christ from the inside out, I pray. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said together, amen. 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 Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning in a time of praise and worship through song. I invite you to open a Bible, if you have one, to the book of Matthew, first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be looking at the first 12 verses this morning as we continue on this series of Kingdom Come. The next couple weeks, we're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And in a very overarching kind of flyover view of the Sermon on the Mount, look to give you the heart of it in about 3 weeks or so. It's a lot to cover, so we're going to be looking at the main ideas, except that looking more in depth here at the first 12 verses, the Beatitudes as Jesus began. Talking today about kingdom attitudes, the attitudes of those who, as followers of Christ, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And so we want to have the same attitude, which will lead to the same actions of Jesus, very much in line with that song, From the Inside Out, that our attitude, at an attitudinal heart, soul level, we would have the likeness of Christ, which will lead us to the actions of Christ, as well as citizens of his kingdom. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, I'll read it so we have it in context, and then we'll walk through it together. It says, now when he, speaking of Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. And his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. May the Lord add his blessing this morning to the reading of his word. As I've journeyed in the last couple months, I've been introduced and have heard this one a concept of high invitation, high challenge. High invitation, high challenge. So to illustrate this, for all the children in here, for children's, for Family Sunday, I have a question for you. If I were to say, I am going to give you $250, how many of you would be in on that? Okay, we got some. All right, and we got some children at heart who are saying, yeah, I'm in on that too. So the invitation is high, right? $250. I think we're going to jump at that. High invitation. Now here is the high challenge to go with the high invitation. In order to get the $250, you would have to wash the inside of every single one of the windows in this church building. And I did a quick look. And there are at least 125 of varying sizes. Some, like the doors out there, that counts as one. So that's a big window. Some of them are a little smaller, but on average, there's about 125. So if my math is right, it's about $2 a window, right? That's going to take you a good amount of time to do 125 of the windows, every single one in the church, in exchange for $250. All of a sudden, that starts to frame the conversation a little bit different, doesn't it? $250 is a high invitation until you hear the high challenge accompanied to it. Whenever there are high blessing opportunities, they usually are accompanied by high challenge opportunities as well. It's no different for the kingdom of God. We love the high invitation stuff. Salvation, eternity with God and right relationship with him. We've been walking through the series on the kingdom and authority in Christ. That's a high invitation opportunity. Identity in Christ of being seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven in the heavenly realms, all of, above all rule and power and authority in this world. That's a high invitation. Joy and peace and love and forgiveness and the wiping away of all the guilt of our sin. That's high invitation stuff, isn't it? But there's high challenge that comes with it. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That to have all the blessings of the kingdom, you also have to have the following and the surrender of Jesus as Lord and follow him. There's high challenge. So we see all throughout Scripture that there is high invitation, but also high challenge that accompanies it. And so this morning, as we look at kingdom attitudes, I want us to look at it from this perspective of high invitation, high challenge. Because there is high invitation, high blessing and benefit for those who say yes, but there's also high challenge that goes with it. So let's look at it. Sermon notes are in your bulletin. We're going to make our way through these fairly quickly this morning. So let's start first with the invitation. What is the invitation? We'll see it fleshed out as we work through. But the invitation that Jesus gives to those who were listening, those who were residents of the kingdom, all those who would trust in him, the invitation is the invitation into a blessed life. I don't know of anybody who would not want a blessed life, right? Every one of these eight Beatitudes begins with this, blessed are. And to be blessed isn't, some translation will be happy is the person who. That it is a blessed, a happy life that Jesus offers and is calling those who would follow him in entering into his kingdom. It's a high invitation to be blessed or made happy by God. I don't know about you, but I want that. And the blessed and happy life comes, as we will look through this together, as a result of eight attitudes or qualities of character or action that will make up the high challenge that Jesus gives to those who would say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a part of his kingdom. The high invitation is a blessed life. But the high challenge are the attitudes of the kingdom. So let's walk through these together. These are the challenges. High invitation, the blessed life. Here's the challenges. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The challenge is to live from spiritual poverty. The challenge is to live from spiritual poverty. If we are going to be blessed ones who accept the high invitation, the high challenge that goes with it is living in a place of understanding our absolute lack without God. Religion will tell us that we need to do a lot of good stuff, and that if we do enough of the good stuff, we just may make God happy enough that he will let us into his kingdom. But that's not what Jesus says. He doesn't say, blessed are those who store up a lot of spiritual wealth so that I will be happy with you. He says, no, blessed are the poor in spirit, for here is the high invitation. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They are the ones who are welcomed in. They are the ones who are made blessed and happy by God. It is an invitation into the blessed life when we recognize that we cannot do enough, that when we recognize that we are spiritually poor and bankrupt before a perfect and holy God and throw ourselves before him and say, I need you, then his grace is poured out to us. His love is poured out to us. Not when we come with, look how much I have to offer you, but when we recognize we are spiritually poor and bankrupt. That is where the blessed life happens. The high challenge comes against our pride, comes against our, I'm going to do it, comes against our own merit qualities of, look what I have to offer you, God, to be able to say, on my own, I have nothing. I'm spiritually poor and bankrupt. And when we do, we receive the greatest invitation, the kingdom of God. High invitation. Yours is the kingdom. High challenge, live from spiritual poverty. The second, mourn deeply over brokenness. The second high challenge is to mourn deeply over brokenness. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Mourning, grieving, being sorrowful over the brokenness that sin causes in my own life personally, but also mourning and grieving and being sorrowful over the brokenness that is caused in other people's lives because of sin, and that is caused in the world as a whole because of sin. I don't know about you, but that doesn't always sound a lot of fun, does it? Because there's a lot of brokenness in the world. There's a lot of brokenness in my life. There's a lot of brokenness in the lives of people around me. And to be able to come to a place where I say, and I accept that challenge, that I'm going to mourn and grieve and to engage in the sorrow that the Lord has over this broken world, that takes a lot. You may think, oh man, am I ever going to get to the end of grief? Am I ever going to get to the place where I'm going to be happy? But yet here is the weird part of it. When we think about it, we talk about the upside down kingdom. The Lord says, here's the invitation. Those who accept the challenge to mourn over brokenness, they are the blessed ones who receive the deep, deep comfort of God. Joy and comfort are on the same continuum. We want to experience joy, but we can't experience the depths of joy without also experiencing the depths of his comfort and mourning over the brokenness of our lives and over this world. The high invitation, the deep comfort of God, with the high challenge to mourn deeply over brokenness. The third, live meekly. The third high challenge is live meekly. Blessed are the meek in verse 5, for they will inherit the earth. To live meekly is to have humility, to have gentleness, and to have a controlled strength. Meekness is not being a wimp, but it is recognizing the greatness of God and our lack in comparison, and of living with him and with others in humility and in gentleness. That is meekness. See, the invitation into the blessed life from God, that high invitation, comes by understanding that the meek inherit the earth. It's not the powerful who bully others who inherit the earth, but it's the meek. So, it doesn't matter whether we are children at school, but this gets talked about a lot at school, I know, or we're adults in the workplace or somewhere else. There are bullies everywhere, aren't there? And the bully wants to come along to you at school and wants to intimidate and wants to use power to get his way, to be able to take space, to be able to have his way, to be able to be lifted up. That's what the bully does. But what happens to the bully is eventually there's another bully who comes to that bully and dethrones the bully, right? And there is always one more person who is stronger in this world who is going to come and dethrone and to take what has been taken by the powerful. And so the blessed life comes when we are meek. When we live with humility and gentleness and controlled strength before God and with others. Because what does it say? The meek, what is the high invitation? The meek will what? Inherit the earth. You see, the powerful take. But what is taken will be taken by someone else. But what is inherited from God can never be taken away. High invitation. Inherit the earth. High challenge. Not bowl your way over to get what you want. But it's humility and gentleness and controlled strength with others and before our God. The meek will inherit the earth. Live meekly. High challenge. Fourth, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The high invitation is that we will be filled by our God. The high challenge is to have a hunger and a thirst, a passionate desire to live in right relationship with God, and that is through Jesus Christ. We'll celebrate that in a few moments with communion by recognizing his death and his resurrection for us to be made right with God. But then it's a hunger and a thirst and a passion to stay that way. Not that we have to earn or deserve it, but that we want to live in such close, intimate relationship with the one who has made us right with God. It's realized through Christ and it's kept through intimacy with Christ. And the intimacy and this invitation into the blessed life with God is that we will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. High challenge. The high invitation is they will be filled because our God will never turn away anyone who passionately hungers and thirsts and seeks after him. Anyone who calls out and calls upon the name of the Lord will be fill in the blank, will be saved. Anyone who seeks his face will never be turned away. High invitation. Out of the high challenge of hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Fifth beatitude of the high challenge is show others mercy. Show mercy to others. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. The high challenge is to show mercy to others, which is not giving others what they deserve. Now, on Family Sunday, this is a huge application for children with siblings and children with friends, right? That applies to all of us as adults as well. When a sibling comes and gives you trouble, what do you want to do? Retaliate, right? I want to give back to them what they have given to me. Next week, we'll look at it. Turn the other cheek, Jesus says. Instead of retaliating, it is giving mercy what they don't deserve. It is treating others the way God has treated us. That out of the mercy that God has given to us in not giving us what we deserve and forgiving our sins, we extend the same mercy to others. That's high challenge. To give mercy, to be merciful to others. The invitation, the high invitation of the blessed life with God is that we will receive mercy. Notice, there's an exchange here, isn't there? Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Out of the mercy that we receive, we give it to others, and then we receive it back from the Lord, which then we give it back to others, which then we receive it from the Lord, which then we give it back. You get the picture? It is this never-ending cycle. Out of the mercy that he's given to us, that he's initiated with us, we act just like he does, and we give it to others. And as we give it to others, He pours it out to us. We love to hold on to the scriptures. His mercies are new every morning. Amen? But how are his mercies received? By being ones who give mercy just as he gives it to us. High invitation. They will be shown mercy. High challenge. Blessed are the merciful. The sixth. High challenge is to pursue purity. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The challenge is to turn our eyes from sinful things, from the things that we want to do, from those desires in us that we know are wrong and that we just want to say yes to because it's much easier. And because, in all honesty, a lot of times those sinful desires in the moment feel pretty good, don't they? If we're honest. But what they end up reaping is not something that is blessing, it's destruction. And it's guilt, and it's conflict, and there are consequences that come with our sinful actions. So the challenge, the high challenge, is to turn our eyes from sinful things and not give in to those desires that we have, and instead gaze upon the Lord by renewing our minds through his word, by spending time in scripture, by waiting on him in prayer, by denying ourselves of those sinful desires that when we want to retaliate to our sibling, we say, no, I want purity. I want to do the right thing. And so I turn my eyes not from what I want to do, and I turn my eyes to him. And what happens is the high invitation is they will see God. Purity will lead to eternity of being with the Lord. But there is also life here on earth where we are more and more aware of the beauty of the Lord, where we are more and more aware of the things of God in our lives, where we are more and more aware of what he wants to do around us, where we become captivated by him. And the more we become captivated by him, the less those desires become something we want. High invitation. They will see God for eternity, but also more and more here on this earth. The eyes of our hearts opened, our desire for him. The high challenge is to pursue purity, to turn away from sinful things. Two more. High challenge is this. Look to be a peacemaker. Look to be a peacemaker. Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. The high challenge is to stand in the gap between warring parties and do the hard work of seeking to make peace. I know there's not much recess on the playground these days, but where there are opportunities and there are kids on the playground who are fighting at each other, to be the one to stand in the gap and to say, hey, let's break this up. Let's try to work this out. We can't be doing this. And in a world that is full of divisiveness, in a world where lines are being drawn, where people are being pushed apart, it is the church's job, it is the people of God's job to be agents of reconciliation between people at odds with each other and people at odds with God. The challenge in it is not to take sides. The challenge is to make peace like Jesus did. The challenge is to be like an alliance pastor in an alliance church, and there's some members in Brooklyn who this summer, in the midst of racial tensions when they were at their height, as members of the African American community with protest lines drawn, they came out and they stood in the middle of those protesting and the police who were holding the line against protests. And out of the relationships that they had built both in their own community and with police, they were able to be the ones who diffused situations and allowed people to have some conversations along the way, to work towards some level of peace by offering themselves into the situation. High invitation, or high challenge, isn't that? High challenge in a tense world to be peacemakers. But the high invitation is they will be called sons and they will be called daughters of God. That's the blessed life. That's the happy life. Why? Because that's what God does. And when we are peacemakers, we become more and more like our heavenly dad. When we are peacemakers, we become more and more like our older brother, the Lord Jesus, who offered himself to make peace between God and man and between humanity to bring one humanity together in Christ. This is what our God does. Look to be a peacemaker. High challenge, high invitation, they will be called the sons of God. Last, high challenge, rejoice in persecution. Verses 10 to 12, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The high challenge is to rejoice and be glad in persecution. Not because you did something wrong, and sometimes we think persecution when treatment comes bad against us when we've done something wrong, but it's when we are persecuted because of Jesus. Because of our faith in him, when we are persecuted because of him, when we are insulted because of him, when we are falsely accused and slandered and lied about because of him. It's the high challenge to rejoice in persecution. The high invitation comes as in when we were being poor in spirit by receiving the kingdom of heaven. There is a blessing in knowing that you're being treated just as Jesus was, just as the prophets were, and just as the disciples were, for being counted worthy of Christ. I love in the book of Acts when many of the disciples were brought in and they were flogged and they were because of Jesus, and they said, we won't stop preaching Christ. And they're flogged and they leave, and what are they doing? They're not, oh man, this stinks, this is terrible, why did we sign up for this? They go away rejoicing, it says, because they were counted worthy of being persecuted and suffering for the name of Christ. High challenge, but high invitation, knowing that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are not easy things, are they? They are really high challenge to live the way Jesus has called us to have the attitudes and then the actions that he's called us to. But the invitation, the blessing that is there, is so extremely high. You know, ultimately, Jesus is our example. Jesus didn't and doesn't call us to do anything that he didn't do. When I look at each of those eight Beatitudes, I see the life of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Here is Jesus, the King of heaven, coming and emptying himself of his right to be the Son of God and use it all on this earth, taking on human flesh, living with the limitations of being led by the Spirit, the limitations of his flesh. And now he has the name that is above every name. King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the one who mourned over sin. As he saw Israel, as he came in on that day of triumphal entry, he looked over Jerusalem and he grieved. He wept because of Israel's, because of Jerusalem's rejection of him as king. He lived with humility and controlled strength. He never used his power to be able to elevate himself, but he humbled himself and he became like a servant, giving himself, washing the disciples' feet and offering himself. He was passionate for righteousness. He hungered and thirsted for the things of God. He had zeal for his Father's house. He was desiring righteousness. He was a man who showed mercy after mercy after mercy when no one else would show mercy to the outcast, to the sinner. He showed mercy to them. He was regularly persecuted. He was perfectly pure, tempted in every way, yet was without sin. And he was the ultimate peacemaker, making peace between God and man and between warring humanity so that we would be made right with him and right with each other. Jesus wasn't just a good teacher who had some good ideas. He was the perfect Son of God who lived out every single one of these to perfection. First John says, if anyone would come after Jesus and follow him, they must walk as Jesus did. It's a high invitation, isn't it? The blessed life with God that he lays out. And those are just some of the blessings. But there's high challenge. May we be people, as sons and daughters of the King, as residents of the kingdom, may we be people who accept the high invitation of the blessed and happy life with God, but also say we will meet that with the high challenge and saying yes and amen. We will. We will. We will not treat these as some divine suggestions, but as the ways of the King. As the ways of the King. And so may his kingdom come. And through it, may his will be done here on this earth as it is in heaven. All God's people say together, amen. With Jesus as our example, and we think of these beatitudes, these kingdom attitudes, let's give thanks to our King together. Let's celebrate and worship our King together. The one who, because he lived this way, it cost him his life. You don't have to be a regular attender of this church. You just simply have to be one who has said yes to Jesus, who's accepted him as Savior and Lord, who has said, yes, I want the blessed life with God, and I'm going to accept, based on the high challenge that he has given, I'm going to place my faith in him, and I'm going to say, Jesus, I'm following after you. You don't have to be perfect to take this together, but if there are those areas of your life that you know are not right with him, and he's been dealing with you on them, and you have yet to make them right, either with him or with others, scriptures say just to allow the bread and the cup to pass and not take communion, but instead be with the Lord if you cannot make it right with him now. There's a high invitation, come to the table, but there's also a high challenge with it too, into this time with him. And so for all those who have trusted Christ and desire to walk closely and are walking as close as you can with him in fellowship, on the night that the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he gave it to his disciples. And he told them, this is my body. It's broken for you and it's given for you. As we would eat together, we eat in thanksgiving, we eat rejoicing, we eat worshiping the one who gave his body for us. Let us eat together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body given for us, by which the sin of the world, our sin, was placed upon you. Thank you for being a peacemaker for us, between us and the Father. Thank you for giving your body on the cross for us. And after supper, Jesus took the cup, peel that top layer off. He took the cup and he said, this cup represents the new covenant that I'm establishing with you. in my blood. Because the scriptures could not be fulfilled and sin could not be washed away and forgiven without the shedding of blood. And so Jesus, the one whom John the Baptist said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. On the day that John baptized Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, the Lord Jesus made himself a peace offering between God and man, his blood shed for us, so our sins can be forgiven and we made right with God. He is our mediator. He is our peacemaker through his life and through his blood. Let us drink with thanksgiving and celebration of the one whose blood has washed away our sin. Let us drink together. And if you would, just take a moment before the Lord and worship him. Express your thanks to him. Rejoice in him.